When Jesus is talking to his disciples in this way, it's sometimes hard for us to hear. But underneath these statements is a very important question that Jesus is placing to his disciples. It's a question that he's asked several times. It's a question that we all must answer. Because ultimately, through these statements of Jesus, if you love your mother or father more than me, if you love your children more than me, we can extrapolate to spouses, to friends, to all these other things, more than me. Jesus is really saying to us, who do you say that I am? Because the only way that we can answer this in loving God, loving Jesus more than my mom and dad, my brothers and sisters, my nephews and nieces, my brother priests, all the people within my life, is if I believe Jesus is God. And I follow that great and first commandment, that you love your Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, with all your mind and strength, and then love my neighbor as myself. Because to love God above all things means that we must know who God is. And certainly, if we believe, and we do believe, that Jesus is the only Son of God, the second person in the Most Holy Trinity, our Savior and our Redeemer, then the question that he asked, do you love me more than these? We can answer, yes, Lord, I do. Because we begin to order our love in a way that makes sense. Earlier this week, I was talking to a couple for the last time in preparation for their marriage. They're getting married next Saturday, not this Saturday, next Saturday, like the 15th or something like that. And they choose the readings for their marriage mass. And when they choose a reading for their marriage mass, I ask them questions about why they chose these readings, because the reading should say something about who we believe we are to become as that sacrament of marriage. And we got to the one where it's very famous, St. Paul's letter, you know, where it's love is kind, love is this, all, you know, all that mushy stuff, right? And in the end, St. Paul says, and in the end, there is faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And the guy said, I chose that because as I have been entering into this relationship with my beloved, my future wife, I have discovered something. I have discovered that the more I allow her into my heart, the more I am able to love others. My love grows greater. And in fact, my love for my father, he said, is growing even greater because I understand now that he has given me life, and without life, I could not love my beloved. Without loving my beloved, I could not have a greater love. And so I love my father even more now than before I met my future wife. Because we remind ourselves that God's love is generous and it's abundant and it's all-encompassing. It's not as the world tells us that it's only so much and we can only give a little here and a little there and a little there because I'm afraid I'm going to run out of love. God's love transcends that and in fact throws it upside down and sits there and says, the more you love, the greater your capacity to love and the more love that you will have within you. If you allow yourself to be loved, allow yourself to have me enter into your heart and join with you in offering love to another, in accepting the love of another. Because if you love God more than my husband, my wife, my children, my parents, my cousins, all these people in my life, if I love God more than that, than all of those people combined, then my love will be ever greater. It will be ever more flourishing. It will be ever more holy. And that sounds great. Does that sound great? Yeah, it sounds great. And then Jesus throws this twist into it. Jesus loves doing this, right? Because after he says that, the third statement he says is what? And if you don't take up your cross and follow me, oh crud. So what does love look like then? Well, Christian love, the love of God and the way God wants us to love, he wants us to love by sacrificing ourselves, by giving love first, by offering love to the other. He wants us to enter into love where we see suffering and pain and sadness and hurt and sin. He wants us to go there to take up our cross and follow him. Because when we enter into those places, when we seek God's love there and know that God's love is there, we enter into that more fruitful and abundant love, that love of sacrificial gift, where we do not expect the gift back, but rather we pour it out in generosity, in abundance, in joy, so that we might bring God's healing love into those dark places, those hurt places, those places that is very difficult sometimes for us to go into because there we see our sin. And so God's love, yes, brings us the hope and the blessing of joy. It brings us the truth of life, but it also invites us, calls us, walks with us to enter into the reality of our human existence, into places that are broken and hurt, into places that need the light of Christ to be shown in them. Because it is there that we experience the fullness of love. And husbands and wives know what this looks like in their relationships. Moms and dads with their children know this. Children know it's their parents. We know what it looks like. And we are called to have the courage to enter into those places. Because ultimately, when we do, God's grace, God's healing love conquers sin and death and brings us new life. We have those two great examples tonight in Scripture. The first one, of course, is in our first reading. We have this unknown widow, this unnamed widow and her husband, who are without children. Husband and wife, widow's wrong word, right? Who are barren, who have no children. And so what do? They don't close their doors and become bitter and hurt and alone and afraid. Rather, they open their doors to hospitality. Let the prophet stay with us. We'll make a room for him. We'll give him a place to rest. We'll have coffee and bagels for him in the morning. No, we'll do nice things for him. And in doing so, they enter into God's love because they are extending themselves to the prophet. In this gospel, Jesus' last words to us in this little passage, if you give even a small cold glass of water to someone in need, you're doing God's work, but you need to do it in love. You need to do it out of generosity. You need to do it out of that gift of abundance that God shares with us. And that's a challenge that we all have within our own homes, right? It's easy to just kind of go out through the day doing the things that we do for each other without really thinking about them. But we are called to be intentional in the acts of love that we share with one another. Even when we hand a small glass of cold water to our brother, our sister, our mom, our dad, our son or daughter, the person on the street, whoever it is, we do it not because, well, it's our duty, we got to do it, but because God calls us to enter into that sacrificial love, that suffering love, that abundant grace of love that God asks us to live. And if we do that, then we begin to change our heart and our world and to heal those things that God desires us to be healers of. And so as we enter into this mystery, right, we come to this altar to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity. We come, as I've said 100 times, to become what we receive, so that we may go out into the world being Eucharist, being broken and shared with others in love. That is our goal as Christians. That is what we are called to do. That is the ultimate gift that Jesus gives to us, to take up our cross, to follow him, because it is there that we discover the sacrificial love, the abundant love God calls us to be.